Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode number 207. Tony and Derek here because Linz took the week off for her birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, by the way.
Yeah, happy birthday, Linz. You jerk. You should have been here. Today, Tony and I reviewed a couple books, which, you know, going back a little more old school, I talked about the new Aquaman Rebirth number one, not to be confused with Aquaman Rebirth number one, even though they're titled the exact same.
All right. Also talked a little bit of AMC suing people who want to try to guess who got killed by Negan's bat.
Yeah, I know. We should probably have been sued months ago because we've talked about this relentlessly. Talked a little about the tragic passing of Anton Yelchin. That was very sad.
Also talked about some good casting news with James Earl Jones coming back as the voice of Darth Vader, as well as Bryan Cranston being Zordon.
Yeah, strangely, Tony thought James Earl Jones was dead, which is fun fact. He's not.
Yeah.
We also had a lovely booze and a book pairing with Civil War Choosing Sides number one and a delicious Imperial Stout. So, sit back, grab a tall, cold one, and enjoy Drunk on Comics, episode number 207. We're so indie, we're mainstream.
Starting to feel, I don't know, a bit repetitive. We always start these podcasts with reminiscing about the fun, drunken times we've had throughout the week, and then I always beat myself up of like, God, man, why do I sound like a lush? Like, I don't need to keep talking about all my alcoholic
exploits.
Yes. Do you have any this week?
I had a crazy drink at Quinn's on Monday night because I just said surprise me. It was green. I don't know what was in it. There was grapefruit juice. I know that much. It was good. It looked like a pink drink, though, but I was good with it. I mean, every once in a while, you got to get something fruity, right?
Well, this past weekend, I had my pub golf.
How was that?
That was where I'm starting to see eventually this podcast is no longer going to be called Drunk on Comics, but Dialysis on Comics.
Alcoholics on Comics.
Yes. And that's where, once again, though, it was such a good fucking time. Like, this annual event that I do with my... And many people do pub golf, but we do it to the T, pun intended, with rules on 9 holes, so 9 bars... With 10 beers each, well, 9 beers, but one of the holes has 2 beers because we stay there longer. You can only get food at lunch and then the dinner hole. There's water hazards, a.k.a. you can't drink water or you can't use the restroom. It'll give you some penalty strokes. So you got to be reading your cue card. Always and every year, there's always some person that goes, hey, guys, don't forget the next one's a water hole. And me and my buddy who run this get pissed because we're like, you're not supposed to fucking say that. We already used the restroom. We knew we were going into one. Now you just, you know, saved all these ones from the penalty. Then we have also some challenges to where a couple extra shots on 5 different holes to where then you get a birdie. Because we do it a little more lax rules. It's however many sips it takes you to finish your drink, which some are tall, some are shorter. And we have par how many sips you can do it in, because really that would put the small man out from really competing. So we kind of just did an equal of like first bar is a tall seasonal and you have 4 sips to do it and you just get a zero. You get like a just whatever, you made it in par. So for some of us though, we still do it the manly way and we see how many we can, if we can get it a hole in one. Can't really work that way that much anymore. So a lot of fun, but already I said 10 beers, 5 shots.
Dude, that's a lot of alcohol.
Also, the last bar that we went to had 90s night.
Oh, God.
And one of my buddies was talking about, are we going to go to this? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm probably going to be in bed by 9 o'clock. Well, are you thinking about it? Maybe. He goes, all right, I'm buying you a ticket. So he bought 10 tickets for 10 of us guys that were in this crawl. Some of the other girls and everything had tickets already for this thing. So what do you do when you're kind of already drunk and you're at a cool 90s night listening to music and everything?
Drink Zima.
Well, you continue drinking, that's for sure, to where then I proceeded to have 3 more PBR tall boys and 2 rum and cokes. Needless to say, I am starting to think that I might have a problem.
Your liver is probably so pickled, it looks like one of those bar eggs right now.
Very much so. So that's where, like, I start off just with... I did meet this one guy at one of the bars, this old guy, like, had, like, a walker, who gave me his card to call into... He works at one of the local radio stations. He's called the Old Curmudgeon, because he wanted to know more about why we were all dressed up in golf attire and everything and what we were doing. And this bar actually was super sweet, because it was bartender's choice, so he just poured a lot of different pints and then just charged us off $5 even if it was nice. More than that. Really cool, awesome bartender there. But, yeah, this guy was like, you should come in. I love drinking. I'm an old man, and this sounds like a hoot. And so I'm like, all right, so I got to do that sometime this week and call in and tell him what it was that we did. But, yeah, I don't know. It's why I got to stick to some comic books a little bit more and maybe a little less of the liver killing.
Yeah, you probably transfer some of your bar tab over to your pull list.
Yeah.
And maybe die a little less inside every time.
A little bit. I don't know. Sometimes I read some of these books now and I'm like, oh, really? I still die a little bit.
Yeah.
Other ones are a lot more fun, though.
Yeah.
What'd you pick up this week?
Oh, man, I got all kinds of shit.
You got anything in particular you want to review right now?
Let's see. I read, the big one that I thought kind of played it safe but was still kind of cool was Aquaman Rebirth number 1, which is actually the number 1 after the Rebirth issue, because they have, like, 2 Rebirth number 1s in their numbering system. It's very odd.
Okay.
But, yeah, so there's, like, a Rebirth issue which sets up the story and then the new number 1.
That's kind of... So that would be, like, the Rebirth ones are, like, a 0 issue.
Yeah, but they still were a number 1. It was odd. So I've
they're really going for the number 1s more and more.
Yeah, man. I'm going to have, like, this huge collection of number 1s and be really confused trying to file it away. But they're kind of going for that whole merge the surface dwellers and the Atlanteans, like trying to get them more peaceful. Like Atlantis built a base in America so mm-hmm. that people can come in and meet with Atlanteans and try to, I guess, not be so xenophobic. It's really playing into the xenophobia thing, which seems kind of slightly politically charged now. But
you're our designated DC guru.
Yeah,
than me. And one of the things that always gets knocked around is Aquaman.
They even make fun of him relentlessly in the Rebirth issue and in this issue a little bit.
Really?
About how Aquaman pretty much sucks.
But,
even though he's ridiculously strong, like the power of Superman and a king of Atlantis.
Yeah, and that's the thing where it's like, really? I mean, I get that, and you always need to kind of have that one person that's like, really? I feel like Hawkeye is kind of that person for the Avengers. However, Hawkeye, though, also is kind of badass, but it depends on who you're talking to. A guy
Hawkeye
with a
really
bow and arrow
doesn't have powers. He's just good at shooting people with a bow.
But his counter to DC would be Green Arrow.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much the exact same character, except for Green Arrow's got some more accolades. Why Aquaman gets so much shit? Because he's kind of like Namor, but then Namor is, like, badass.
That's what I was saying. Do people really shit on Namor as much as they shit on Aquaman? Because I know the big joke is always that Aquaman just talks to fish. Even though he can't, he just has, like, a mental, like, link with mm-hmm. fish, which they talked about in the original Rebirth issue, which I kind of touched on, like, last week, I think. But, yeah, he kind of is that, like, joke character that, I mean, comics, like, recently in New 52 and, I guess, in Rebirth have been pretty good, but it's Aquaman. He's never going to be the number one selling DC issue. So a little more niche title, I guess. But I think this is going to end up being a pretty good story arc, but they are playing it safe. Using Black Manta as the villain. You know, the usual mm-hmm. big Aquaman villain is Black Manta. Everyone knows that. That's how they're starting this run.
That's why I feel like he needs to have a little bit better of a rogues gallery or something more to him. Like, maybe if he becomes more of a, what the fuck do you call him? Where you're half, like, you're good, like, what is Namor? He's not a good guy, but he's not a bad guy. He's kind of just, like, the in-between
type. He's a fish guy.
Okay, I mean, yeah. Merman. But, no, like, where Aquaman needs to be a little less Justice League-centric and, like, superhero, but a little more about Atlanteans and
yeah.
my people, so that you're kind of, his whole aspect is like battling the surface dwellers. make him a little more villainous in aspects to make him have a little bit better of a story than can we all just get along type peacefully, because where he's at, no one really cares about the fish people. I mean, I don't, at least.
I think that's what they're trying to do with this series, though, is try to maybe, you know, it's another reboot for them. They can at least try to bring in some new readers on this. I don't know. It's a tough sell for Aquaman. That's why I wanted to kind of talk about it, because he's not that comic that you just rush out and go, shit, new Aquaman, yeah!
Does he have both his hands still?
He does.
Okay. So I know at one point he had the fish hook. Captain Hook.
Yeah, he's got, I mean, he's pretty standard. The, like, fish vest and his trident, and he's, like, getting married to Mira.
Okay.
You know, the usual. They're kind of rebooting to start again with, like, that whole relationship, but, which is kind of weird because they're basically, like, going, eh, New 52, kind of, eh, whatever. That didn't really happen. Stuff's changing, so.
I know, and I love that, but it's still, when we get into a world of telling the same stories, it's why in the past year I have really dropped a lot of the big two books for me and have started picking up a lot more independent books.
You know, I found myself doing that more. I pick up more like Image and Boom stuff than I do the big two, and Marvel's really kind of dragging me down lately. Like, it's like new status quo every time they reboot after a big thing. Like, yeah, I mean, Secret Wars is pretty cool, but
I think
after
Secret Wars was one of the coolest things that I've seen come out of Marvel in year, like, I'll still never talk about original Civil War, going into Secret Invasion and all that, and even then Dark Reign. Those were well set events that continued on, like the repercussions from before continued on into even more stories, and it was just an yes, they were events, but they were events that were just happening in the flow of the story throughout the entire universe of Marvel. And then you get Secret Wars, which was the culmination of all that shit, and now they restart to zero. Okay, cool, I get that. This is their first big kind of reboot, but now we're seeing the same stupid, easy shit that they're coming out with, Civil War II,
yep.
Some of the other things where it's like, you've already told that story. Like, I don't need to re-see that. I don't need to know that Spider-Man, you know, Uncle Ben died and blah, blah, blah. Not that they've done that in the comic books, but I'm just saying that's what it feels like sometimes as a reader reading those books where you get Image or some of these other, they don't fucking reboot their shit. I mean, hell, Spawn, they haven't ever had a reboot Spawn. They kind of had Al Simmons come back a couple months ago, and that was kind of cool, but everything that's happened within the Spawn universe has happened. It's one contained story, and I don't know.
I mean, I do wish that they would kind of not just reboot, but I know they're trying to make money on number ones. But, hey, you know, I did want to kind of touch here, too. Writer on this is Dan Abnett. The artist is Brad Walker. I personally picked up the Joshua Milton variant cover because I thought it kind of looked like the cover of Stranger in a Strange Land.
Oh, nice.
Which was a book that I really liked when I was younger. Robert Heinlein, really good sci-fi. So, really cool because it kind of has that same, like, underwater, like, weird thing going on with it. So, I was like, I get drawn to covers, and that's probably why I picked this up. Because I was like, I haven't read any Aquaman in 6 years. Might as well give it a shot. So,
what do you think, besides the whole like xenophobia thing, or what do you think the big tension is besides that? What's driving Aquaman right now?
That's a lot of it. Him trying to, one, get the Atlanteans to buy into him being a surface person as well, since he was from Massachusetts, apparently. And also trying to get the Americans and the rest of the world to not be scared of Atlantis, since they are such a superpower. Like, people just don't understand them, so they're terrified of what they can do, because the fucking ocean's two-thirds of the world, right?
Yeah.
And they rule that. So, the whole Spindrift station that they've made, which is what they call the like, giant conch shell that they're all, like, coming to hang out in with the Atlanteans, is like their, I don't know, like Ellis Island, I guess, to kind of bring everyone together, I suppose. I don't know how else to like describe it. Maybe they're United Nations of two random areas, but
I just thought of a good story arc for both, whether it be Namor or Aquaman, just because as what you just said, two-thirds of the world's ocean. What if, and not getting political, but what if one of their thoughts, or someone's thoughts, whether Black Manta or someone, to melt the polar ice caps so that there's more ocean.
That would be sweet.
And then, like, seriously, do it in an Elseworlds type format so where it actually happens and you see, like, New York City underwater, but you see, like, Atlanteans then living in skyscrapers underwater and shit. Visually, I'm just thinking that'd be cool. I don't know how storyline playing out, because...
I don't know how you reverse that.
Yeah, you don't. That's why it'd have to be an Elseworlds, yeah. One of those where the ending isn't what you expect type thing.
Yeah. But
I don't know. I just thought of that when you...
That'd be fun. But yeah, I think the other big thing is having Black Manta be the villain. He's trying to prove that Aquaman isn't this goody-two-shoes underwater guy. He's like, this dude killed my dad. Fuck him. He's not as all goody-happy as you think he is. He's kind of a dick. But as only, you know, Black Manta could do.
Yeah.
But I also think it's racist calling him Black Manta. But
well, I mean, he's a manta ray. That's...
Black guy in a black manta suit.
I was just going to say that is black, but that sounds... It's
like Black Panther. Why do all black superheroes have to have black in their name? Black Bolt?
he's not, but... You know, yeah, that... Well, that because it comes from a time...
I guess Black Bolt isn't, but...
Yeah, it's still one of those things where, yeah, that's...
I know, it's old characters that they're carrying forward, but couldn't it just be a manta?
Yeah.
Manta, or like manta African-American Ray. Manta?
Okay, I don't think we need to get that. So, as we just have said that we've gotten into more and more of the independent-type books, you obviously picked up something from DC. Well,
yep.
I then decided to pick up something from Marvel, too.
Which, oh, look at you!
Yeah, so reversing our trend on what we were saying we're getting into, but I think also you're picking up something that you haven't read in a while, and it's something interesting, something new mm-hmm. to you. I picked up something that I gave so much shit about that I now have to say I am completely sold, and I love this book, The Unbelievable Gwenpool.
See, I bought the 0 and 1 issues, but I haven't read them yet. They're just sitting there.
Number 3 just came out, and the reason why I decided to get into this book was mainly I saw a review of it come out, and so I went and I said, all right, I need to pick up then the issues, because there's only 3 right now, so I can easily do that. And then I found the 0 issue, luckily, online, so I got that digitally, to where I wanted to know the whole story then. And it all comes about when, in this latest issue, written by Christopher Hastings and art by Guerrero, she is interacting with Doctor Strange. And I'm just like, okay, like, obviously Gwenpool's going to interact with some of these people, and I've learned a little bit of her backstory. Reading all 3 of those, well, 4 of those issues this week, it made me fascinated with this person, but the panel that I saw in particular online was her talking to Doctor Strange and just him not even knowing the context of what was going on, saying, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch, eh? Sure, I could see that. And I'm like, they're somehow talking about our world, and I do know Gwenpool came from our world. You knowing Gwenpool is a Deadpool chick that his real name is Gwen...
Mm-hmm.
Pool, going from the variant cover that they had in Secret Wars 2 to make her a main. That's my big part. Was it when was it Gwen Spider or
Spider Gwen
came out? Cool, interesting, different, and that's something that sticks there. But then you just making all these Gwen type characters because this person looks like a Gwen Stacy type person. To make another Deadpool, who I love Deadpool, but he's so oversaturated
and
everything.
Have you seen all the ridiculous amounts of Deadpool comics that are out now? Like, yeah. This week, Deadpool v. Gambit came out, which is actually hilarious, but that's beside the point.
No, yeah, I get them all, and I have still stacks that I need to catch up on. That's where I'm like, I don't need to get into a whole new Pool-type comic book, because they are so good. I love Deadpool for he knows that he's in a comic book, but sometimes he does, because he's living in this universe. And that's where I felt fascinated with Gwenpool. Getting to this whole particular scene here, the backstory is she came from the real world, our world. She has read comic books. She has no superpowers, but what she has is information. She knows all the secret identities. She knows weaknesses. She knows things because she is now in the comic book universe. I've now realized also... Her coming to this universe happened in the Howard the Duck books.
Yeah.
And so that's where I need to now pick those up to kind of see how exactly that happened. And even then, from you know, scouring the internet, I've seen that there's a little bit, even that's a little bit hazy. This one in particular, number three, but I'm going to kind of talk about the whole overall story, is her trying to get an identity within this universe. She's now working for MODOK. Okay. And being on his payroll for mercenaries, and he can't find anything about her, like, as if she's a great ninja, and then getting in touch with Dr. Strange to try to get her help. She's like, I need a bank account. I need a social security card. So he does some mumbo-jumbo, and that's where they're looking, they're peering it into her world. And one of the coolest things that that Dr. Strange had said was, well, besides him, like, seeing that there's a movie premiere of Doctor Strange and him seeing who is going to be playing him, is that it's fascinating that, like, the people and events of our world or of your world or whatever leave footprints in yours and vice versa. Like, obviously, talking about comic book terms, stuff that happens in our society, 9/11, obviously reverberated within the comic book world, and then even vice versa through movies and everything. And Gwen knows that she's in a comic book. That is her only true power. And watching her fight, you come to find out that she's not a good fighter. She's learning, but really she's just a regular human. But when you are zapped into, let's say, maybe easier, a Looney Tunes universe, let's look at Space Jam, you know, MJ getting hit over the head and little birdies go around his head. You're in a different universe where physics work a little bit differently.
The rules are different.
The rules are different because in her first outing, she realized she needs to get a superhero costume. That's why she then got it. She didn't just ask for Deadpool, but that's just what the person made, and with pink and everything, which really stands out because there really isn't any pink-looking, you know, characters out there. But she says, because if I don't have a superhero costume, I'm just an extra. And what happens to extra on the comic book covers? They usually blow up and die. But do the superheroes? No. She already is metagaming this world, knowing that this will save her a lot of times. She's also coming to realize, though, within the last couple issues, I mean, MODOK just fucking, she got a sidekick within the first issue, and then MODOK killed it in the second issue. And then when she's realizing, shit, some of this stuff's really got some real repercussions, and maybe I can die. But she kind of just jumps out of, you know, this and that over a building, knowing that she's going to easily land somewhere, not with a superpower, but because she's a superhero. However, right now, she's kind of a bad guy. She's a henchman because she's working for MODOK. And it's so weird and twisted in a way that it's not Deadpool. She obviously likes guns. She likes blowing stuff up. She's a quick learner. But even quick learning stuff, because she knows she's in a comic book, she just has that mindset of, I'm a good guy, so I have to prevail, and it seems to be working out with her. She's obviously three issues in, but even then, she knows she's in a comic book because she talks to the reader, kind of like Deadpool does. But even then, she's battling Sentinels at one point, and she remembered the old X-Men game of their attack moves in that game, saying, yeah, these guys are just drawn the way that they were, you know, in this video game, so I knew how to, you know, circumvent them blasting me type thing. We need to put on a show for the readers. And everyone keeps saying, why do you keep saying that we're in a comic book? Like, they're thinking she's crazy. She knows that she's like, I'm pretty sure there's people out there reading this. Her first issue saying, there's no way I can die in this. This is my first issue. That's weird. Going on to talking about, wait, is this going to be a new story arc for this person when she fought Lady Thor and everything? It's a solid story, and I'm so upset that I didn't jump on it right away. But it's great. You will love it. I didn't really spoil a lot of the first couple things. You'll kind of, you get the gist of who she is, but it is a solid pickup for anyone. Not even if you're a Deadpool hater or whatever, this is just a great book in being meta of, she's got Deadpool's name and looks like him and likes guns and a mercenary, but really beyond that, she's her own embodiment in the Marvel Universe.
So did you, another one that I just kind of wanted to touch on real quick, I don't know if you picked up, it actually came out last week. Did you pick up the new Loki comic?
No.
Yeah.
When did that come out?
Last week, I think.
Oh, shit.
Hilarious. Loki running for president with his basically campaign slogan being, I'll lie to your face and you'll love it.
Is it okay? Well, because I'm definitely gonna pick it up. I do want to know. So spoil it for me a bit. What age Loki or which Loki?
That's part of the thing. He basically says that there's a bunch of different Lokis that keep happening. So he's from America and has a birth certificate he conveniently found, but Odin brought him to Asgard after he was born, so he didn't cause trouble. So,
okay. That sounds like a good book.
It seems like, I know you're a big Loki person, so I thought I would at least mention it so you would go pick it up, because it was pretty funny.
Well, the reason why I didn't know it was coming out. I don't usually, I need to start looking ahead of time and telling them to put stuff on my pull list. Mm-hmm. Really, when I go to my comic book store, it's kind of in and out. They got what I need. I didn't know that was coming out already. That makes sense, though, now that election season is in full blown. I'll definitely have to
This is why you need to run up to Comic Signal. It's right around the corner. You can just go grab it.
True. All right, so big news, and this was news that I actually had to, I had a Google search because I was thinking it was like an Onion article, but mentioning that Darth Vader is going to be in Rogue One. Now, that being news, I thought that was going to be a given. I mean, the space and time of where these movies happen, if you didn't throw him in there, that'd be a disservice to anyone.
It's in the timeline spot where he's going to be a major force in the universe.
Yeah, like that he wouldn't be around at all would be really ignoring a huge part of the Star Wars universe. So I was just waiting for them to finally say he's in it. But to see that James Earl Jones is going to be voicing him is kind of where I had to Google it. Because I honestly thought he'd passed. I mean, with so many people that, celebrities that die like every other week, I thought that he was gone.
He's pretty old. He's in his 80s, I think. I'll be very sad when James Earl Jones dies. Don't die for a long time, James Earl Jones.
Well, I mean, well, think about it. Mufasa died. I mean, Bleeding Gums Murphy died. Darth Vader died. I mean, his characters that he voices are all dead, so I kind
of
figured
that... What, he's like the Sean Bean of the 80s?
Of voice acting. Oh, man. So Justice League has some new plot details.
Yeah, they officially said that Steppenwolf is going to be the villain, who is the uncle of Darkseid and like the general of all the forces, so that obviously means there's going to be a crap ton of parademons, like in that disaster of a movie.
Is there going to be a rock band by the same name?
I'm sure. They'll take them on a stairway to heaven. I also, like, gently touching on the parademons from that, apparently the R-rated version is going to get a brief theatrical release. I don't know if you saw that.
Of what?
The R-rated ultimate version of Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. Wait. Even though they initially said they weren't going to release the R-rated version, it was just going to come out on DVD. Now they're like, oh, we're going to put it in theater.
What are you going to, all of a sudden, how are you going to just make it rated R? Like, was there some extra F-bombs that you had in the script that you all of a sudden thought to cut?
Maybe Batman kills more people. I don't know.
Well, even then, though, you had to have, like, been shooting some of these extra scenes, which then, why did you shoot those to begin with if you knew that you were going for a PG-13? Why do you need to make it R, and how is it going to make it R?
I'm really, maybe they'll do like a Fight Club thing and just splice in shots of penises.
What?
Didn't you ever see?
Oh,
remember
yeah,
like the one frame? Yeah, a single frame.
All right, I want to go back to Steppenwolf for a while though.
Sure.
Here's the thing with that. That's like, I hate comparing everything to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but sorry, they did some fucking great work in making continuity in a giant universe happen. Yeah. Announce him. Cool. He's the bad guy. Not.
No, I'm sure going to have more than just that. If you have one of like the generals of Apocalypse, then there's going to be way more than that. You'll have probably Darkseid at least make an appearance.
He's going to make his
grand entrance,
I'm sure,
at the end.
He's going to copy Thanos, even in looks alone.
Dude, they're the fucking same thing. I mean,
we don't even need to rehash the reasons why they look the same, because they are the same.
Yeah.
When Starlin made them both, but you know he's gonna show up in the very last of like, ha 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 ha, it was me all along type thing to set up for like two more movies for the. That's what I'm glad that he's not the main bad guy, but I would just be happy. Don't even show Darkseid at all, like just. Have him be doing something on Apocalypse, drinking some tea. Have some other sinister... Have the anti-monitor somehow.
I think that would be a crazy, crazy thing to do.
It'd
I guess
crazy,
you could,
but it would also. I've also heard some things talking about the what's not the death formula, the
anti-life equation.
Yeah, possibly showing up in the new Justice League movie, which has Anti-Monitor all over it. So that would be like throwing like seriously. I'm shocked. I'm surprised. Thought it was going Darkseid's way. Maybe have Darkseid coming in and Anti-Monitor like both fighting. Have two huge baddies coming to Earth. They maybe fight each other too. Then they team up like how
that you know, seems like a lot of shit in one movie though. Especially when they said movie.
I'm saying the overall story arc for it.
Well, they said this was going to be a standalone film. It's not going to have like a part one and part two anymore. It's just going to be Justice League with no like multiple parts. So
but there's, well. Part they're gonna have cliffhanger though. That's what I'm saying. The cliffhanger part, yeah. Not having the cliffhanger, which we all know is just gonna be Darkseid sitting there. You know, it was me that sent you know Steppenwolf down. No, have it be like just Anti-Monitor just looking at Earth and being there without Darkseid, which sets up the next. Because yes, there's not a part one or part two, but there's gonna be this giant universe that they're gonna explore, and they're gonna have another Justice League movie at some point. Which then can re-explore what happened in the first one and how the world now all of a sudden sees Caped Crusaders besides Batman and Superman, which is something that they're going to have to kind of get used to in that world, which will be interesting because we've already seen it come about in the Marvel films, how they do that in that world.
Yeah, and I feel like the way they kind of... spoiler alert, killed Superman off with Doomsday right away. They kind of abbreviated the whole history of Superman into two movies, which is kind of weird, because there's a lot of stuff they could have done to expand that character other than have him be a brooding asshole and then die.
Well, Snyder, speaking of Superman, Snyder has also said something with Superman coming back in Justice League with maybe a little bit more hair.
The super mullet from The Return is coming back, huh?
Yes, and... I laugh, but then again, I do fondly remember seeing the MacGyver-esque... I'll tell you what, MacGyver had some fucking perfect hair.
Dude, Richard Dean Anderson had a majestic mane in MacGyver.
Yes, but well, here's the scale of mullets. There's Billy Ray Cyrus mullet or Richard Dean Anderson. Like, both of them had mullets, but one of them wore it better than the other. And I think Superman could pull it off. Fuck, I even didn't even realize what the fuck look was, but I'm not too ashamed to say I had a mullet in 8th grade.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was kind of terrible, but that was in my wanted to be a country rock star phase and all
you
country.
Did you have a cutoff jean vest, too?
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to go, like, achy breaky mullet. That would have been great.
No, like I said, I wasn't trying to go for the Billy Ray Cyrus type.
Did you have mullet. A straw hat? And you get a piece of wheat in your mouth?
I know, maybe.
It's like, yes.
Well, like I said, I was in 8th grade. I didn't really fucking care about fashion. I just was like, cool, long hair. I'm going to be like, you know, well, maybe I want to be more like MacGyver. Who knows? But
That's probably better to aspire to than Billy Ray Cyrus.
That's why I was saying I wasn't aspiring to him. But yeah, anyways, so that would be kind of a change, I guess, for the character. And if that brings back the look. Because really, there's no bringing that back. But
there's not a good way to dress up a mullet. I mean, yes, it is business in the front and party in the rear, but it's not a strong look no matter how you wear it. There's not going to be like a new fashion mullet.
Yeah. All right. So Sony has said that they are more than happy with Marvel right now. Everything from Civil War, introducing Tom Holland. And this is how... I don't even want to use the word synergy because I know it's the wrong word anyways. But
it kind of works. I mean, just their like
but
nice
I hate that fucking
synergistic
word,
relationship.
Yeah, but this is how, well, compromise, let's say. This is how compromise and working together helps all parties. Sony wants to make a lot more Spider-Man movies. They've wanted to before. And when they did a reboot with Andrew Garfield, they had plans for even a Sinister Six movie, not starring Spider-Man, having an Eddie Brock movie or a Venom movie. Which now you could kind of do, you know, Space Knight Venom, what he's doing now with in his book.
That comic is crazy.
Yeah, but I love this, and they're gonna have help from Marvel, and it's the best for both parties. Marvel has their properties being out there, seen by many people, which will then come by the books. Sony's going to be racking in a lot of money and getting the help and fucking probably some cameos from, I mean, Tony Stark, a.k.a. Robert Downey Jr., will be in Spider-Man movies.
Mm-hmm.
It just works out for both parties.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome that they're actually finally not being dicks to each other and kind of sharing a little bit more because they realize that, wow, we can both profit off of this. That's good because mm-hmm. people will want to see Spider-Man if they know Robert Downey Jr. is in it because there's Robert Downey Jr. fans. And by them launching Spider-Man out of a big budget Marvel film gives them more viewers too. So, you know, they make money either way because by sharing these two characters that have separate film rights, even though they're in the same universe, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Not really same universe, but actually a whole different universe, to tell you the truth. Paramount and Star Trek just recently came out with some rules regarding fan-made productions.
AKA how not to get sued by Paramount.
Yeah, and this comes about from about a year ago, a Kickstarter campaign that was raised a lot of money to make a fan-made project. It was going to be, I think that's where a little bit of it got into was whether they're... I don't think they were dumb enough to sell it, and I'll have to relook up the legalese of how that all went down, but Paramount, they had a lot of stuff going, and they're going to make it like a huge kind of mini-production. And there's some great fucking YouTube videos out there, but this was separate people that weren't working with Paramount or anything, because Star Trek, they're not going to allow anyone just to make a Star Trek type, not even series, but a movie about anything because they want to make big bucks off this mm-hmm. and someone even coming up with their own idea. So they put the kibosh on that, but now they've come up with rules to allow that to happen. The biggest which I find also bullshit, is they can't be longer than 15 minutes, or if there's two parts to the same story, can't be longer than 30, so 15 minutes each. But you can't have... It's got to be one episode or whatever, one story, self-contained. No continuation from the same characters or the same what happened in the last one. And that's where it's like it takes the creativity out of the people wanting to make this.
You better be really good at telling a story in 15 minutes then, which is tough in film.
Yeah, well, yeah. How are you going to do that in... Well, that's the thing. Episodic type webcasts, the Mortal Kombat and the Street Fighter ones were great. And those were about 15 minutes, 20 each, but they also had like 9 or 10, which makes it into well over an hour, 2 hour type movie when you binge watch them all. And that's what Star Trek is just now, and Paramount is kind of putting the kibosh on it, and that sucks. The other thing is you can't just say Star Trek something. It's got to be a Star Trek fan production in the title. That I'm okay with, but still, this stymies the creativity. Star Trek is for everyone. I mean, Gene Roddenberry made this the pinnacle of humanity at some point to explore the stars, and now we can't even explore how we want to even imagine that with, I don't know, it's kind of a little bit bullshit.
He's got real political about the future.
Future is ours.
Future is ours, and super happy, and everyone's all good, but not when you want to make that, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking also of Star Trek, we had a passing.
Yeah, in the weirdest way possible, like almost Darwin Award winning. But apparently there's some recall on the vehicle before that, which was coming, which kind of sucks, too.
Yeah, but I had to look up a video to see... how you can not put your car in park, but with the shifter that they have, it looks freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
This
is also why you can never trust your transmission to hold your car in place. Always put on your parking brake, people. That is my public service announcement number one for the day. Because getting crushed by your own vehicle, one, horrible way to go, and two, really embarrassing.
Yeah. So it's sad to see Anton Yelchin has passed. He was... The whole new reboot cast has been great in those movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, for everyone that gave the first one shit for going on in a different timeline and stuff...
I thought that was genius.
That was way genius. Surprise everyone. If they're going to just remake everything that they did in the other movies, why am I going to watch them? I'll just rewatch the old VHS tapes. So it's cool that you have a new way. I'm glad that they have this whole new movie already wrapped up and it's going to be coming out
basically
shortly.
Yeah.
But it's all sad because he was such a great actor.
He was.
And this is one of those freak... Like I said, many people passing, some from old age, some from overdoses. This, a freak accident. And that's kind of...
Getting your mail, getting killed, getting your mail, not something you plan on. That's super weird. It's just such a weird thing to happen.
That's where, like, also it's like how... I just can't imagine it. Like, you just see your car...
Just barreling down your driveway, you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
It's like some Final Destination shit. What did he do to piss off Death was like the second thing I thought, other than being, oh, I'm really sad right now, because he was a very good Chekhov and good in all the other weird movies he was in, like Odd Thomas.
He was, one of my favorite movies and one that I remember most, Alpha Dog.
Yeah.
You ever see that?
Yep.
Picked that up mainly for my boy JT. he's got some acting chops, and that was a really dark, awesome, like, played the character well. That's based off a real movie. Anyone that hasn't seen Alpha Dog, definitely go pick up that movie.
Crazy movie, but it's really good.
Based on a true story. When mm-hmm. when they're numbering all the people that saw this person get kidnapped, that was crazy. But yeah, so his passing is obviously sad and tragic, and obviously he won't be able to come back for the next movie, but I hope that they have a good send-off. Obviously they're going to probably be, you know, post, you know, Mortem credit type thing in Star Trek, but speaking kind of Death, The Walking Dead still has many people pissed off of not being able to see who got killed.
Yeah, I know that's been a big point of contention. I'm not as upset about it after watching it. I mean, it's a good way to get people to come back and watch the next season.
I know, because we already know that it's
fucking Glenn. It's gotta be Glenn.
No, it's gonna be Daryl.
I don't think so.
Or Carl. Maybe it's Rick. They're gonna go the whole route and do Rick.
That'd be pretty impressive.
No. But seriously, one of the before I get in, even
we're probably getting sued for saying it's Glenn now.
Yeah, because that's not been known in the comic books for years. No, but AMC has there's a Walking Dead I believe Facebook group that has gotten a cease and desist letter from AMC saying you are not allowed to even mention or think about who it is that's dead, or we will sue the living shit out of you guys. Can't even make a peep. And if anyone else on the forums comes up with the right person, you will also get sued. You need to pretty much stop. I guess because this group has been so good at it, watching the cinematography or like seeing different things, they've guessed a lot of the cliffhangers correctly, or they read the fucking comic books. Who knows? I mean, maybe that could have been the reason why they knew what the fuck was going to happen after the prison.
Look out, we got badasses here that read the source material. Yeah. Oh, shit.
The stupidest freaking... I hope that they continue. And say, but this is the thing, though. And they, in their letter to their fans, said, really, we want to, and we think it's complete bullshit, but they have the money.
Yeah. Well, and that may not actually go anywhere. They'll be able to tie them up long enough to make it... So the next season already happens, and they can't do any speculation because they'll be shut down legally.
Yeah, and that's what... Yeah, I'm a little disappointed because I could make predictions all left and right, and I guess if AMC came to me with a cease and desist, I would actually honestly be a little worried that, A, we're on their radar, and B, they do have enough to shut us down, but that ain't right.
No.
Because it's opinion.
Yeah.
And
where's my free speech, damn it? This is America.
Well, one of the other cool things I learned about that, they filmed all 11 people that were down there.
They filmed everybody getting killed. Yeah.
Yeah. To where even then production people don't know which cut it's going to be. But they're already filming for the next season. So they must have different sets with different people on them. And they must have something where all of them are back for at least a little bit. Whether it be a flashback or something. Really, though, this cliffhanger is one of the most talked about in a while, but...
It was effective in what they were trying to do.
Yes.
Well, it may have pissed people off. They got people talking. No press is bad press.
Yeah, and that's what, though, I hope this makes more people want to read the books. I binged on some books the last 2 weeks. Walking Dead was one of those that I still have in my pile of the many books that I read. And I got to read about almost a year's worth. It was almost like a year ago at Motor City Comic Con when I read the last issue that I had then. And holy fuck, so great to binge read.
It like, is.
Saga was another one where most people have to, you know, the hiatus and everything that happens. Well, now there's another Saga hiatus right now, and I just want to say, Brian K. Vaughan, stop doing these. I know it's Fiona having to drawing and everything and the artwork and detail. I say this not with hate, but love. Bring Saga more, like, so, oh, that's another book that all our listeners should know that we love, but yeah, getting back to The Walking Dead, fuck it.
Glenn's dead.
Yep. That's about it for any news that I kind of had this week. Do you have anything else?
Not news-wise that I could think of. Trying to think of anything else crazy outside of that I saw.
Well, while you think of that, I do want to give a shout-out to this website, the XavierFiles.com. The owner of this site has gone painstakingly to try to catalog every mutant out there, starting with a lot of oddballs and people that you wouldn't normally know. And some of them in there crack me up, but it's more than just a Wikipedia and more than just going to Marvel.com and just being able to read the synopsis and everything. He puts his kind of opinions and thoughts in it, also bringing up some of the better issues instead of just saying they're in this one, and this one. He goes, you should pick up this issue and continue on in this one and really just read the whole series about different characters. Right now, he's only got about 30 to 35, I believe, as of this recording, but really go check out the Xavier Files. I think that it's commendable that someone wants to take their extra time to go ahead and do that. If I had the time on my hands, I'd probably do that too.
It's pretty sweet, yeah. I was going to get a quick shout out. Did you see that Bob from Podcast Detroit was on like the Comcast Newsmakers thing doing an interview for IT and the D today?
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they should have wore the PBR jacket.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what Jimmy was saying. I love the PBR jacket. I think it's so damn ridiculous.
Well, speaking of Jimmy, that brings up the one last thing. Mine and Jimmy's love for Power Rangers and Bryan Cranston being cast as Zordon.
I guess it's better than doing the putty voices like he used to do way back in the day.
Yep, and that's one of the craziest things.
Coming full circle now.
Yeah, he's now the leader of the good guys. He also voiced a couple of two of the big bad guys of an episode. But I can see his bald head floating up there in the command center. And
Heisenberg.
Well, part of the things, too, I don't know if you know, Billy's last name was Cranston,
mm-hmm.
Which he says based off of him. Probably more than likely true. I mean, he knew the people, obviously, on the production. That's why he was doing voice acting before becoming a big star. But, God, I can't wait for that film. That's one of that, I think, in all. I will quit movies if that sucks. But everything from the morphine suits to, I mean, I hope they get the Zords right. I just can't wait for the first time it transformed. God, actually, that's going to bring up to, I don't even want to continue talking about this because it's so great. People need to go watch it. But fucking Voltron.
Yeah, I watched the first episode, actually.
I binge watched the shit out of that. I couldn't stop watching. I was like intrigued, also a little upset of like, that's not how it should happen. Where's Sven at? Like, and why is Keith down to the Red Lion? Like, what the hell is going on? Who's this new guy? And I then realized, you know what? It's an updated version, and the updated version kicks ass. They do a lot of homage to the original, but they needed to make it a little bit less than Keith being the leader and being more of the brash, you know, taking chances, so that his fighting with Lance could have a little more fruition. And seeing the characters have a lot more in-depth, the reason why I think this series is so much better than the first one was a normal Saturday morning cartoon show of who's the monster of the week. Where in this show, Because they have the production value and they're telling a linear story, then not every episode is them about fighting monsters. I mean, fuck. The first episode, which was an hour long, shows them coming about, finding the lions, and forming Voltron. Second one, they didn't really know how they did that. And not to give too much away, but watching them try to form Voltron, Hunk is fucking hilarious. It definitely has some anime-type nuances within it, which I love watching anime. So everything of that is just great.
Yeah, isn't what's-his-face Hunk or whatever, isn't he voiced by the guy that was like on Tucker and Dale versus Evil and Reaper?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can't remember his name right now, but yeah, that, I was like, I know that voice.
Well, Stephen Ewan is also, Glenn is, fuck, who is he? I think Keith or Glenn. He's someone.
He's one of them, yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's another good series to watch. So, definitely set a lot of books to read this week and a lot of movies that you guys need to check out. But yeah. What's a booze that...
It's good. I had that pulled up, and then I closed it because I was talking to you. So, one second here. I have to find that again. I was talking as a book that I also picked up another Marvel book this week, which is two in 1 week, which is basically sinful for me. I picked up the Civil War Taking Sides number one, or Choosing Sides number one.
Okay.
Kind of, remember the Secret Wars, like Battle World issues they had, where they had multiple stories in one issue? This is kind of in that same vein.
So this is not the main characters of, like, Iron Man and Captain Marvel fighting. This is kind of like the side characters?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the first one is a Nick Fury story. Okay. The second one, shit, I'm trying to remember what that was. It was obscure character. It rides like a skateboard. What was his name? Shit.
Skateboarding Man?
Sure. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. And the third one was one of Tony's favorite groups, Damage Control.
Fuck yeah.
Back again. So we decided that since Damage Control was in this, cleaning up after a giant battle with the Celestial that was in Civil War II number one.
Okay, here's the thing. I just love when they just mention it because everyone wonders who the fuck takes care of the buildings. Like sometimes Tony Stark will say, I'll pay for the repairs and stuff. But really, who can do that? But a superhero team that is just... great at construction.
Exactly. They're great. It's, yes, we decided it would be fun to pair that, if you read the story, with a Wrecking Ball Imperial Stout from No Lie Brewhouse in Washington, because it seems like what would pair better with Damage Control than something used to bring down buildings and repair them.
All right. Do you have a last word for this week? Anything that you can think of?
Sure. I got a Star Trek quote that I think is fairly fitting right now. It is possible to commit no errors and still lose. That is not a weakness. That is like life. Fuck.
You made an error now.
I did make an error perfectly on that, but that was Captain Picard in Star Trek The Next Generation, which, while not with Chekhov, still seems very fitting.
All right. Well, stay thirsty for more drunken shenanigans.
Yeah, and beers. You can find Drunk on Comics on Stitcher, iTunes, the Points of Interest Podcast Network, and now featured on Podcast Detroit.